Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
But I just want to invite you in on the journey with us to really be a part of a move of God. God's doing something special in our church. Really, he's resurrecting us. We're called a church revitalization, so we hope that you'll join in on the journey. You can start by being here next week, same time, same place, and we're just excited about what God is doing. And so for those that I haven't had a chance to meet just yet, let me tell you a little bit about myself, or at least one of the things that I like, and those that are in our church family already, you know this to be true, but I talk about movies a lot because I love movies. I'm a big fan of cinema, and you may be wondering to yourself, well, Pastor Ryan, everybody loves movies. It's actually not true. I've met a few of those weird people. Maybe you're one of them yourself, but they just don't like movies. But I love movies, and my wife can testify to this, but I love movies so much that I even love watching the trailers to movies. Like I make sure I show up early for the movie. Like I really enjoy all things revolving around them. And you'll know this about movies. A good movie takes you on a good journey through a good story. It's what happens in a good movie. And you can go through different time periods, and you can live vicariously through different people. You can explore different worlds. I know I'm excited about Avengers Endgame that's coming out next weekend. And so just to be completely honest with you today, as I think back on my short time here on this earth, I feel like the movie watching experience has actually gotten worse, though, and not better. Like I'm all for Netflix, and probably everybody's got an account to Netflix, or you got a family member and you use their account to Netflix. And I just got to tell you, when it comes to Netflix, and I like it, but sometimes I'm scrolling for what to watch, and that takes longer than until I actually find something to watch. And I'm all for going to the movies. I love that. My wife and I, we go on dates to the Star Cinema Grill over there in Cyprus, a few miles away. And I think that's the best marriage you could ever have. Not like ours, but like movies and food. Like just a really great marriage there. So I'm all for all of that. But I just remember back, and those that are 20 years old and over, you'll remember this with me. But I remember back not too many years ago to this amazing place. And again, I thought this was just the catalyst for movie watching experience. But I remember this amazing place called Blockbuster. Anybody here, you remember? Remember Blockbuster? And man, not too many hands up. We got young people, I guess, here today. But Blockbuster was a special place. I did research this last week. There is one left on this planet. There's a couple in Alaska. They've gone to the wayside. And it's in Oregon if you're wanting to take a trip there to the Mecca to see the last surviving Blockbuster. But I remember, and even especially as a child, you know, we didn't have cards or credit cards or anything like that. But if you went to Blockbuster, you could get your own Blockbuster card with your name on it. You remember that? Like, it was a special place. And I remember going to Blockbuster. So those 20 and younger, let me enlighten you, okay, because you missed out. But you go to Blockbuster on a Friday night, and you actually planned it into your schedule. Like, hey, we're going to spend some time going to Blockbuster. And we'd walk through, and y'all remember it if you've been there before, and I know it was years ago, but we'd walk in and you got the sci-fi section. Like not digital, but like you could actually like touch it and smell it, I guess. I don't know, but it was like there, like physically. And then you walk over and you had the drama section. And then you had my favorite section, the action section. You know, things blowing up. That's my kind of movie. And you have all these, you had the classic section, all these different movies. And it was an amazing thing. And I remember many, many Friday nights, literally, that we would go and we wouldn't even rent a movie and we still had a good experience. Like, I remember that when it comes to Blockbuster. And honestly, I just know this about Blockbuster, and even back years ago, we didn't have Blu-ray, we didn't have anything digital and instant, we didn't have DVDs, we had these things called VHS. Y'all know what I'm talking about today? If you don't know what it is, ask a friend, okay? And you go rent different movies there, and I remember like Braveheart in particular, and it was so long, you had to have two VHS. Y'all remember that? Rubber banded together, and Be Kind, Rewind, you know what I'm talking about? And so you could watch one of them, but you wouldn't get the whole story, right? You had to watch the second one. And here's the deal that we know about movies and TV shows and all of that. If you don't get the ending, You are frustrated. Like if you just watch 75% of the movie or the TV show and you don't get to the ending, you want to know what happened last. Usually the ending's the best part. That's where the tears come. That's where the excitement comes. Like that's where you cheer and you celebrate. But you got to get the whole story first. And now we've got Netflix. And again, I'm not a Netflix hater. I've got Netflix. And here's what happens is that it's digital. It's instant. And so we can watch a whole episode. Let's be honest, a whole season in one sitting. We can watch a whole series in a week to make sure that we get the whole story. What good is it to watch 75% of a great movie if you don't get to the end? And here's the great thing about today, what we're talking about, Easter celebration. There's a lot of things that happened in God's word that we see that happened throughout history. But if you don't get the whole story, you miss out on the real story. And I'm so thankful that in God's words, specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the Apostle Paul, he gives us a summary. I don't know if you remember back to your school days or for those of us that are still in school, but you got the Cliff Notes version, right? Pink Monkey Notes, that was a website I used to use back in the day, to give you a summary of what happened, the whole story. And so if you got a YouVersion Bible app or you got a physical copy of God's Word, would you turn with me to that place so we can get the whole story? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. And if you don't have a Bible or forgot to bring it or trying to download the app, but you've got like one bar and not five bars, it'll be on the screen behind me, of course, if you're here in this room. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to see the whole story. And we're going to start in verse 1 and end in verse 10. And I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. But whatever translation you have should work wonders for you. And I'm going to jump right in because I got a few things to say and not too much time to say them. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important. This is the summary of the faith. This is the whole story. I passed on to you what was most important, what had also been passed on to me, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead. That's Easter, what we're celebrating today on the third day, just as the scripture said. But it keeps going. It's not the whole story. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, talking about the disciples, the apostles, his best friends. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive at this writing, though some have died. Verse 7. And then he was seen by James and later by the apostles. And last of all, as though I've been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I'm the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. And just hit pause for a second before we read the last verse. He did persecute the church, the Apostle Paul. He did. It wasn't like he wrote something bad on Twitter about somebody else. We think that's persecution, okay? Like he actually was applauding as Christians were being stoned to death. Not stone smoking weed, okay, like rocks thrown at them. The Apostle Paul was applauding that. It was because of him that you go around to different cities and make sure that Christians were arrested and imprisoned and tortured. So when he says he persecuted the church, he persecuted the church. But I love verse 10. You got to get the whole story. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. And I want you to know today, it doesn't matter what your past is, even your presence, like God's special favor wants to be poured out upon you. And God wants to do something brand new and resurrect your life. Not without results, for I've worked harder than any of the other apostles. That's a humble brag right there if you didn't notice it. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. And over the next few moments, and it will just be moments, I'm going to preach to you from an Apostle Paul's account of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and we're going to see the whole story. In fact, that's my title if you take notes in church today, the whole story. Let's pray. God, I pray for every single person here in this room. And also for those that are listening online, on our website, on the podcast. And I pray, God, that as we hear the whole story of Easter, the whole story of you, Jesus, we pray that you would resurrect what's dead in us. You didn't come to make bad people good. You came to make dead people live. And we all desperately need to experience our own Easter. And the truth is that we'll never know the real power in Easter unless we know the whole story. So I pray for every heart, every mind, every life, young and old alike, first time in a long time, or here every single week. I pray for each of us. Help us to hear from you. May we be open to receive what your word has to say. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You see, the Apostle Paul, he does an incredible job making it pretty easy to understand the whole story of Jesus, the whole story of Easter. Now, hear me, please. It's important that we know that Jesus came to this earth wrapped in human flesh and was born in a manger. That's Christmas. It's important that we know that, but it's not the whole story. It's important that we know that Jesus literally, not just in some ancient book, but like in history, he literally walked this earth, and Jesus gave hope to the hopeless. It's important that we know that, but it's not the whole story. It's important that we know that Jesus died on the cross, but it's not the whole story. Easter is about all of that and more. You see, a little over 2,000 years ago, as Jesus was being taken away to eventually be crucified, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit on, he was embarrassed. I'm telling you, you can read about it for yourself in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus faced extreme pain on what we call Good Friday, but can I tell you today, it was a good day for us, bad day for him. And Jesus faced extreme, excruciating pain, but that's not the whole story. Did you know that as Jesus is being taken away to die on the cross and eventually raised from the dead, his best friends turn their back on him? We don't talk about that so much, but it happened. And if you've ever been betrayed, if you've ever been backstabbed, if you've ever had somebody that you thought you loved, that you thought you could trust, turn away from you, if you felt that betrayal before, can I tell you something today? The whole story, Jesus felt that too. In his greatest hour of need, his best friends that he has spent every moment with for years, they said, "We are now leaving. We are abandoning ship. We're throwing in the towel." So Jesus is arrested, and they scatter, and they mourn, and they give up. Well, I guess we've had a good run. It's been a good ride, but I guess things are over now. And maybe you're wondering to yourself, I know I've been there before, like, why would they do this? In the moment that Jesus needed them, why would they scatter? Especially because if you've read the Gospels, you know that they said they would never leave him. Yet just moments later, they do what they said they would never do. So why do they do this? I'll tell you why. Here's why. Messiahs aren't supposed to die. Sons of God aren't supposed to be killed. And so make no mistake about it. Yes, Jesus faced extreme physical pain for you and me, but he also faced extreme emotional pain for me and for you. But not just that. Can I tell you the worst thing, in my opinion, that Jesus faced was spiritual pain. In one moment, I'm trying to give you the whole story today. In one moment, at one time, all the weight of the sins of the world, past, present, and future, everybody who had ever lived and everybody who would live, all of that sin was placed on the sinless one. In one moment, in one time. Think about all the pain that your sin and your mistakes has caused you. And add that up times infinity to everybody else. And all of that in one moment was put on him, but you need to know today that that's not the whole story. What does Paul say in verse 4? If you still got it open, you can look again if you like. What does he say in verse 4? Not only did Jesus die, but he also rose from the grave. And friend, please hear this. Without Jesus raising from the dead, there is no Easter. You know that. It's the whole story. Without Jesus raising from the dead, there is no Easter. The story would be incomplete. You've got to hear this today. Now, I don't know if you've realized this, and maybe you haven't, but the resurrection of Jesus is what makes Christianity different from all of the religions and all of their belief systems. And whether you admit it or not, it's affected your life. It has shaped your life. And I'm going to prove it to you because I can feel the pushback and not everybody agrees with me, and that's okay. But let me prove it to you. Think about the calendar for a moment. You've got BC and AD, before Christ and after death. It's affected your life. Think about music. Jesus, to our knowledge, never picked up an instrument, yet there are more songs written about him than any other person or thing in history. Think about art. Jesus, to our knowledge, didn't paint. He didn't sculpt. He didn't design clothes or websites. Yes, there's more art, architecture, design, and sculpture dedicated to Jesus than any other subject throughout history. Think about literature. He didn't pen a book with his own hand. He didn't write a blog or a novel, yet there are more books, resources, and articles on him than anyone else who's ever lived. What about influence? He walked the earth over 2,000 years ago. He never traveled outside of a small area on the planet. Not to mention he didn't have the use of internet or social media. Yet there are Christians on every continent and almost every remote area of the world. And friend, today, please hear my heart. I don't mean any disrespect if you're here and you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, you're Hindu, or you're an atheist. Like, we're glad you're here, but you just need to know today, it is a fact, not an opinion, that the resurrection separates Christianity from all other religions in the world. You see, you could go to the grave of Confucius. You could. A widely respected philosopher. But guess what? You'd have to be quiet. You'd have to be reverent. You'd have to honor his life and his legacy. Why? Because his body is buried. You could go to the grave of Muhammad. And you've got to be quiet. You've got to be reverent. His bones are there. You go to the grave of John Smith or Buddha, and you better be quiet. You better be reverent, but you can march to the tomb of Jesus. And you can celebrate, and you can worship, and you can lift up holy hands. Why? Because he's not there. He's alive. I'm just telling you today, we've got a lot to celebrate. We have reason to worship. It's the difference maker. It's why we're different than everybody else, because Jesus is alive. Not man-made. He's not a monument, not some statue that people go visit once a year. It's a person. He's in heaven and he's waiting for us. He is alive. He lives. He's resurrected. That's the whole story. If you still got it open, you can move to verses 55 through 57. Here's what Paul says, quoting the Old Testament years and years before. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, to hear and know the whole story of Easter, you need to experience your own Easter. We need God to resurrect us, to save our souls. And over the next few moments, we're going to do something we don't do all the time, but we do a good amount of the time since I've been here. But we're going to play you a testimony video in a second. And I want to tell you a little bit about the person before you hear her story. But her name is Kristen. And Kristen experienced her own resurrection. Personally, it's what God wants to do in your life. You see, Kristen is the sister of one of my good friends. In fact, his name is Justin, and he actually mentored with me for years. And Justin's sister, Kristen, she went through a lot. And maybe you're in a similar place today, but God did a mighty powerful work, a miracle in her life. And so I hope that you'll be open to hearing her story. So if you would, I want you to put your eyes to the screen behind me, and let's hear Kristen's testimony.
So I was raised in church, but I really felt like it was more of like a religion and not a relationship. If you did something wrong, like everybody knew and everybody talked about it, and they just kind of looked at you differently. So I didn't really feel much love. So the first time I used meth, I was 16 years old, and I was in a house full of other people my age, and they were like, hey, do you want to try this? And I was like, sure, why not? I didn't have a reason not to. I wasn't doing really the right thing anyways. And I remember trying it and it just totally like taking me. I started experimenting with meth around the age 16, but by the time I was 18 years old, I was using it heavily, basically every day. When I was 19 years old, I had my first child. I used meth the entire time I was pregnant, and when she was 2 weeks old, she was taken away from me. I felt like I was just running from my problems. I never dealt with them. I was using drugs to numb the pain of what I experienced. Between the ages of 22 and 23, I got pulled over and I had meth on me. I went to prison and I was in there for 11 months. I really was beating myself up at that time because my mind had enough time to kind of like really think about everything that I had done. But I still was feeling bad about myself, didn't feel any self-worth, and felt like I wasn't good enough. After I had my two sons, I left them with their grandparents. I was, you know, in and out of their lives. I'd go for a weekend or I'd go for a night, and then sometimes I would take off for a month and not show up for another month or two. I know that there were several times that I would say, hey, I'm coming back, and they would sit there and look out the window and, mommy's coming, she's coming, I know she's gonna come, and I would never show up. So when I was about 30 years old, I got pregnant again with my daughter, and I was still using the whole time I was pregnant with her. I went to the hospital to give birth, and I knew that they were gonna take her from me. I didn't want them to take her from me. I really wanted all of my children, but I knew that these were the consequences that I was facing because of my actions. Something kind of snapped, and I would think to myself, you know, you're 30 years old, you need to get your life together. I didn't have a name picked out for her whenever she was born, but the next day in the hospital, I decided to name her Faith because I knew it was gonna take Faith for me to get her back. They took her away from me in the hospital, and I went home without her. We had no electricity. We were running off of a generator. We had no running water. We were getting water from our neighbor. And I just kind of sat there in my living room and thought to myself, I needed to change to get her back. This is not a place for me to even bring a baby to, and I needed to change. One Sunday, I was up early one morning, and I just decided, hey, I'm gonna go to church, and I'm gonna surprise my mom. I felt like I was the only person in the room that he was talking directly to me. And after the service, I decided to ask Jesus into my heart again. The minute I did, I just felt a peace, like everything that I was gonna have to go through, that I was gonna be able to make it. I decided I wanted to get my daughter back. Evaluations, I had to take drug tests, I had to do a parenting class, a drug offender class, and when we were sitting in the courtroom that day, they were just like, you know, you've never mothered any of your other kids, like you're not even in any of their lives at this point, like why should we give her back to you? And after a lot of talking, they decided that they were going to give her back to me. And when me and my mom walked out of the courtroom that day, we got in the car and we just like screamed at the top of our lungs. Like it was the best day of our lives. I could not believe it. I really could not believe it. And it was only God. God has restored my relationship with my family and my kids. My children know that they can call me anytime and I'm always gonna be there for them. I see them every weekend and I talk to them almost every single day. His love is unconditional. It's not judgmental. There's no distance that you can get that's too far for God. He's always there for you, no matter what.
Come on, isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? You're not too far gone. I want you to know that today. And I don't know what you came in here feeling or thinking. Maybe honestly, there's some things in your life that you're embarrassed of. Maybe just taking that first step through those doors from the outside felt like a leap of faith. Maybe you thought to yourself, well, if they only knew what I had been doing, if they only knew the screw-ups in my life, then they wouldn't accept me. And I want you to know that's not true. That we love you. That even more than that, Jesus loves you. And to really grasp the weight of Easter, you've got to understand that Jesus wants you to experience your own Easter, to resurrect your life, to save you from your sin. It's not a coincidence that you're here. There's a reason behind it, and the reason is simple. Jesus loves you. So I want you to bow your heads with me, close your eyes all across the house. Those that are listening online, if you're able to, join us in that. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want you to think about the service today. You think about the worship and the videos and the message. I want you to think about Kristen's testimony, her story that she was so brave to give. Now I want you to think about your own life and where you're at. And honestly, my hope, my prayer, and I've been fasting all week long, is that in this moment you would wrestle with God. That you would do business with him. I know nowadays in 2019, it's still acceptable to go to church on Easter. And so I get that maybe this is just a part of your routine. And maybe you had no intention of truly making a decision one way or the other. But I hope and I pray that right now you would do business with the Lord. And that you'd look at your life and see, are you where you need to be with him? I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm not talking about church attendance or church membership. That's man-made. I'm talking about the relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. So yes, he came to this earth, and yes, he died on the cross, and yes, he rose from the dead, but he did all of it for you. Because he loves you and he cares for you. And today his arms are stretched out wide. His hands aren't held with fists like we think sometimes. His arms are out wide, ready to embrace you, ready to welcome you in to the family. And so eyes closed, heads bowed, just like I've said all throughout the service, we're not gonna embarrass you or single you out with anything. But right where you're at, God wants to meet with you. He wants to heal you. He wants to become your friend. He wants to start a relationship with you. And maybe for some of you, it's to start again in a relationship with the Lord. The amazing thing about the Easter story is Jesus has done all the work. It is finished. And all you have to do today is surrender your life to him. And that's great news. That's good news. It's not about how good you are. It's not about doing more good than bad. Because you will never earn God's love. And friend, if I could just be brutally honest with you, you don't deserve it either. And neither do I. But yet God has extended it to us. It's called grace. It's all about what he's done, not about what we've done. So today that opportunity is on the table. I'm not gonna make you stand. We're not going to usher you off to another room. But right where you're seated, you can literally see your life go from a path towards hell away from God and move over to a path towards heaven, eternity with God. You see, hell was really never made for us. God wants us in heaven one day with him. But you have to make a decision for yourself. If you're married, it's not your spouse's decision. If you've got kids, it's not your kids' decision. If you've got parents, it's not your parents' decision. It's your decision. Will you choose Jesus or will you choose yourself? Will you surrender your life to him or will you keep trying to live life on your own? And this Easter can be different for you, but only if you truly surrender to him. So please, no one looking but me, just honoring this holy moment. If you're here today and you're far from the Lord, no pastor has to tell you that. You just know. Even right now, you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. You may not be able to explain it so much, but you feel it. Today is your day. Easter 2019 is your moment to surrender your life to him. So here's how you can participate. Here's how you can surrender. Here in just moments from now, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And then after that, I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me. It's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that you confess Jesus as your Lord. It's a prayer that says, I believe in my heart that Jesus, you raised from the dead. It's a prayer that asks Jesus to forgive you of every sin. Think about that. To wipe the slate clean, like the sin was never there. It's a prayer that surrenders your life to him. That's it. So again, that offer is extended to you. I don't want you to make an emotional decision. I want you to think about it. Of what Jesus has done. And all you have to do is surrender to him. So eyes still closed, head still bowed. If that's you, you know you're not right with the Lord and you want to experience your own Easter today. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live, and he wants to do that in your life. So that's you today with eyes closed. Would you lift up your hand? I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Keep it up high, hands all over. Keep it up high. The Lord sees you. Keep it up. Keep it up. I know your arm gets tired, but this is an act of obedience right now. Hands all over the room. Keep them up. Keep them up. Jesus sees your hand. He sees your hand. This is awesome. Keep it up for a moment. I know your arm gets tired. Keep it up, keep it up. Anybody else would join these brave others? God, you're so good. You're so good. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. You can put it down. Keep your eyes closed. I told you what's about to happen, but here's what I didn't tell you. It's not just going to be you saying this prayer out loud to the Lord. But there's going to be many others that just lifted their hands saying it as well, but not just them. Here's the greatest thing. There's going to be many other Christ followers in the room repeating it out loud as well. Well, why would you have them do that, Pastor? Here's why. Because it's a signal to let you know that you are not alone in this new journey. That you got a church family. We've been there. Jesus has saved us just like he's about to save you. You are not alone. And so the many that raised their hand a moment ago, and also the Christ followers as support, I'm going to ask you to repeat this out loud and proud. Repeat this after me. Say these words. Dear Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross. Jesus, I believe that you died, that you were buried, and you rose again. And so right now, I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Tell them this, make me new. Jesus, I surrender the good, the bad, and the ugly. I give you my life. And Jesus, right now, I put my faith, my trust, my life in you. Thank you for resurrecting me. Jesus, I love you. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You can open up your eyes and go a little crazy. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's celebrate.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.